Welcome back to God Invention Radio, presented by Inventor's Digest. And now, here's your host, Brian Free.
Welcome back to segment two of God Invention Radio. And speaking of Inventor's Digest, if you haven't already done so, take a look on the front of gotinvention.com. You'll see on the bottom, you'll see the banner Inventor's Digest. You click on there, and you can subscribe to Inventor's Digest magazine and get 30% off the cover price. Also, go on to inventorsdigest.com and keep updated on the latest information on inventing. All right. Thank you again, Inventor's Digest. So, Gary, we're here again with Gary Seehoff, Every Holder Products, giving us some information, playing the inventor cap now with him and his team, and just kind of going through the process. So, Gary, where were we? What point were we up to?
We were talking about how we invent and the characteristics that we think of when we put together an invention that we want to bring to market.
I remember you talking quite a bit, and I've gotten to know you again for the last few months. Research is very, very important. So you started to ask the questions, is it a problem solution? But even before you go to that point, do you do any kind of intellectual property search, or do you check online? What do you do as soon as you come up with that idea?
Absolutely. All of the above.
Okay.
We look at what's available at retail. We look at what is represented online, and we do searches within the patent database at the patent office.
Okay. So you have a process, and that's what a lot of inventors look for on the
sure.
show, is really getting deep. So
All of that can be done really inexpensively. You don't have to be a company like we are to do that kind of stuff. Online research is free, and in fact, basic searches can be done at USPTO.gov for free too.
Okay. What about, I have a question here from Lisa. She's asking about a provisional patent service called LegalZoom. What do you think about it, she's asking you. But also, just in general, Gary, what do you think about filing provisional patents, non-provisional patents, design patents? Are you familiar with those, maybe to give us some advice on that?
Sure. I mean, I'm not going to give legal advice,
no,
as I'm not an attorney. I am not familiar. I've never used LegalZoom. I have heard about it. As far as provisional patents are concerned, you know, it's always a good idea to file a provisional patent because it allows you to file without incurring the heavy expenditure, and then you have a certain amount of time before you have to start spending money. So it's always advisable to protect yourself in that manner.
Okay, so you suggest doing a patent search and doing your research, and I'd like to spend a little time on your research, but to answer Lisa's question, a provisional patent is a good way to start. But before you file a provisional patent, listen to what Gary's telling you. Do your research first. Check around. See what's out there. Is it something that, you know, before you start putting money into your idea at all different levels, at any level, to make sure that you do your research first?
Yeah, and I would say most importantly, you know who you're dealing with when you disclose your ideas. There are a number of reputable companies out there. A number of companies like mine that are very, very inventor-friendly, that have emanated from an inventor source and just would never burn a bridge. And then there are those you have to be careful of. You clearly have to know who you're dealing with.
Absolutely. I have some more questions actually starting to get emailed into me. It's getting kind of busy in the inbox. So I'd also open up the phone lines, 877-474-3302. Ask Gary a question directly. He's on the show right now. You're listening. Call in. But of course, you can continue to keep emailing me, and I'm happy to ask Gary the question directly. So I'm going to get to a couple of these questions a little bit later in the show. So just hang tight, Tim. Okay. Here's another thing, Gary. So licensing.
Yep.
Okay. So actually, keeping the other inventor cap on. So you go through and you do some sort of protection. What about making prototypes and that type of concept, and then it's starting to ask yourself the question, am I going to license the product to manufacture? So what do you do with and how important is a prototype to you?
I think a prototype's very important. It doesn't have to be an expensive prototype, and it doesn't have to be made you know, on a CNC machine. I mean, a lot of people send in prototypes that are literally, you know, cut from other products or materials or even just mocked up in paper format and just sort of really pieced together. But, you know, the prototype is part of the proof of concept. And if you can, you know, put it together with glue, paper, and tape and prove it and, you know, get a sense of the size and the volume and perhaps even whether it works or not, I think it's very important.
Okay. Jill is asking a question. Jill, I'm sorry, I don't know where you're from, but she wants to know where you find all these resources. Do you, if you need some help, Gary, I'm happy to help.
No, there are a lot of resources out there depending on how much money you want to spend. And that's the key for most inventors. I know it was the case for us because most of us don't have unlimited resources. The research you can do pretty much on your own. If you're very careful who you're dealing with, you can get out there and deal with somebody you trust before incurring legal fees, or you can file a provisional patent with an attorney relatively inexpensively. Mm-hmm. And prototyping, I'm afraid you've got to piece together yourself unless you hire a resource that will charge you probably anywhere from $500 to a couple of $1,000 to make a prototype, depending on how sophisticated it is. But you can literally just plug in the word, you know, prototype makers or prototyping, and you'll come up with lots of resources.
Yep, I like to use thomasnet.com is a great resource. They've been on the show in the past, and I usually mention them. You can also, this is something also, Gary, we talk about is connecting up with people at inventors groups. There's local inventors groups all over the country. You can check the UIA, which is the United Inventors Association website, which is uiausa.org. You can check inventorsdigest.com.
Yeah, you know, from a prototyping perspective, we have gotten to the stage where we do all of our prototyping in China with factories that we use. And so, you know, if you're talking to a potential licensor, it's highly likely that if they're interested in the idea, they will help you get a prototype built very inexpensively in China. But, of course, at that level, you've got to be in discussions with the licensor, and they've got to be interested in moving forward.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. Here's a question from Tim, and this is something that's interesting. A lot of people are always skeptic, but... So, Gary, Tim is saying, can you narrate what happens when you submit to Every Holder website? Most importantly, should you have a patent before submitting ideas?
Okay. With specific reference to Every Holder, you do not need to have a patent before submitting an idea to Every Holder. We just have a culture and a policy that... is not one that, you know, makes off with an idea and takes advantage of it. The submission through our website is a very, very efficient process. It comes directly to me and my VP of marketing, and the two of us look at those ideas daily and determine very quickly if it's in our zone of interest, our zone of expertise, and if it will fit the distribution model that we have. And we get back to inventors, I think, relatively quickly compared to most.
Good. What about non-disclosure agreements? How do you feel about signing those, or do you get approached with them?
We do, and we very rarely ever sign them. Mm-hmm. And it's mostly because we do a lot of inventing ourselves in-house, and we get submitted a lot of ideas. And more often than not, inventors want us to sign a non-disclosure agreement that's on a blank basis, and we just can't do that.
Right. Okay. And once you see something that you like, obviously you don't like, you send them a response back, which you said you do right away. What if you do like it? What's the next steps?
Well, if we do like an idea, then we would begin to explain the process of you know, how we go about developing the item, how long it takes, and what the inventor's expectations should be to, in terms of, you know, both the time cycle and royalty stream. And invariably, if we like it, we put together a license agreement very quickly for an inventor to review, and we then begin to get into further discussions.
Okay. You know, we're running short of time, but my question is going to be, and this is something to think about during the break. So tell me, you know, it's something simple for me to just send you an idea, but when I send you the ideas, it's something that you're going to spend time and research and do all the, you know, all the patent searching and all that type of stuff, or do you want us to be prepared?
We really prefer you to be prepared. Invariably, once if an idea comes in on an unprepared basis, our first response is going to be, what's the competition? What are the features and benefits? Why is this item unique? And we'll bounce the research back to you.
Excellent. Okay, we're just about done with this segment. We'll be back with segment 3 and Gary Everyholder in a moment.
Love to read but just don't have the time? With Audible.com, you can catch up on reading simply by listening. Audible has the largest collection of digital audiobooks, over 85,000 titles in every genre. Listen to a bestseller on your iPhone, BlackBerry, Android smartphone, or one of 500 other compatible devices. Visit audible.com/WSRadio today and get a free audiobook when you try Audible free for 14 days. That's audible.com/WSRadio.
WS Radio has been broadcasting for nearly 10 years on the internet with the reputation of sounding the best. One of the secrets to our success is we use professional broadcasting equipment manufactured exclusively by Comrex, the industry leader. There are no shortcuts to being the best, and that is why we go to the best. Since 1961, Comrex has designed and manufactured broadcast equipment with continued innovation into the 21st century. Experience is what counts. Learn more at Comrex.com.
Do your M2M devices rely on a cellular signal to transmit data? Do your customers rely on that data for processing transactions, asset tracking, managing product inventory, or fleet monitoring? If so, you probably have situations where poor cellular signal is the weak link in your communication. At Wilson Electronics, we provide signal-boosting solutions to work with your device in even the most challenging situations. Our signal boosters and antennas can give you peace of mind by delivering a stronger signal. For more information about Wilson Electronics cellular signal boosters, visit WilsonElectronics.com or call 1-866-839-9282.
In San Diego alone, of the estimated 8,500 people that are homeless, 25% or approximately 2,100 have mental illness. Mental illness can be successfully treated through supportive housing, integrated mental health services, primary health care, alcohol and drug services, case management, and social services. To help homeless people living with mental illness gain stability and live more productive lives, log on to housingmatterssd.org. That's housingmatterssd.org.
Do you have an idea or an invention and not sure what to do next? Take the first step and get your copy of the book, You and Your Big Ideas by Brian Fried. From protecting your idea to developing it and bringing your product to market, this handy resource guide is a must-have for every inventor, innovator, and entrepreneur. This book is all about you and your big ideas and bringing them to life. Only $10.95. Order now and also receive your free product evaluation kit with the book. Call now.